because he is a Talmud Chover. Talmud Chover meaning he is a Talmud Chacham, a prized Talmud of Rav, and therefore the rules are different for him. So the Gemara says, we're on the seventh line from the top of Chof Zayin on the base, the first word on the line, V'hainu dekom alei Rav Yirmiyah ba'abo l'Rav. And that is what Rav Yirmiyah ba'abo said to Rav, mi bodlet, omale in bodilna, v'loy omar mi bodil mar. So when Rav davened on Friday night and his Talmud wanted to know, after having davened Mariv, did he then therefore refrain from doing Melacha? So instead of talking to him in third person and saying, was Mar Bodil? Rather, he spoke to him in second person and he said, Mi Bodlat, did you refrain? Now, how can that be? That would l'chaira seem inappropriate for a Talmud to address his Rebbe like that in a second person. He should speak to him in third person. So once again, this must be because of the reason we said before, that he is a Talmud Chover. And that's why he allowed himself to say, Mi Bodlat, did you separate, did you refrain from doing Melacha, rather than saying, did my Rebbe, did my master refrain from Melacha?
I may ask a question. In today's times, are we still obligated to address Rabbanim in the third person?
It's a very, very good question. I think the real answer is that it depends on your relationship that you have with your Rebbe. I mean, certainly, if you were going to visit Reb Chaim Kanievsky, you would not slap him on the back, do high fives, and say, what's doing? For sure, you would speak to him in third person. But if you're speaking to your own Rebbe, I think it depends on your own relationship. I hereby ask, anybody speaks to me, please talk to me in second person. Says the Gemara. So either way, Rav has now davened Mariv, and Reb Yirmiyah has asked him, did you separate, did you refrain from doing Melacha? You remember we discussed this sugya at great length, the very big chiddush that was taught to us in this sugya, which is that when you daven Mariv on Friday night, that itself is a form of Kabbalas Shabbos. And that's why when asked, did you refrain from Melacha? He said, absolutely yes. Says the Gemara, Umi Bodil, did he really refrain from Melacha? Meaning, is Mariv really a Kabbalas Shabbos? V'ha'omar Rav Ovin, surely Rav Ovin said that Pamachas Hispalel Rebbe Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. On one occasion, Rav Ovin davened the Shabbos Tfil on Erev Shabbos, V'nichnas L'merichatz, and he immediately entered the Merichatz. V'yotzon, he left, V'shon Olon Pirkin, and he then learned, V'adayin lo yichashcha b'chal, and it wasn't even night. So you see that even though he has already davened, but it seems permissible to do Melacha afterwards. So why did Rav say that I separated from Melacha, I refrained from doing Melacha, as if to say that Mariv, when you daven Mariv, that is a Kabbalas Shabbos? If it really was a Kabbalas Shabbos, then why on earth did Rav Ovin enter the Merchatz following davening? Says the Gemara, no. Amar Rava, Hahu the Nichnas Lahazia V'Kodem Gzeira Hava. We're not talking about actually bathing, but rather he just went in Lahazia, which means to sweat, which is not an Issa of Rechitza. It was a later Gzeira that was introduced by Chazal HaKadoshim for reasons we discussed last time, that they were worried people were heating up the bathhouses on Shabbos. At the time that Rovin was involved in this story, this gezeira of Lahazia had not yet been instituted. Therefore, you have no proof from this story that you're allowed to do Melacha after Mariv. To the contrary, you're not allowed to do Melacha. The reason why he went into the Merchatz is because the gezeira that outlaws that had not yet been enacted. Says the Gemara, one second. Eini, what about Abaya? We have another story. Vabaya Shori Leila Rav Dimi Balivoi Lechavruye Soli. Abaya allowed Rav Dimi, who had made early Shabbos, he had Davin Mariv early, and he allowed him to cook these spices. It's a bishul, so you can't possibly there answer like the way we did with regard to Merachatz. That's not a gezeira. That's a straightforward melacha da'iraisa on Shabbos. So what on earth, how on earth was he allowed to do that? If it's really true that when you daven Mariv, that is Kabbalah's Shabbos, then it should be osa da'iraisa to do any bishul after that. So the Gemara says, Hahu ta'usa havoi. That was different because that was a mistake. What does that mean, it was a mistake? He didn't intend to make early Shabbos. He only davened Mariv because he thought, incorrectly, that it was already nightfall. How did he think so? Because it became very dark outside, cloudy sky. He davened Mariv and all of a sudden the clouds dispersed, upon which he saw that actually it's not yet Mariv time. So of course he was allowed to do Malacha, because his whole Mariv was Betos, and here we're being taught a tremendous Chiddush that if you daven Betos, then that does not take effect at all. Says the Gemara, is that true? Betosa mi hodra, is a Tos really retractable? V'ha'oma Avidon, we have now yet another story. Avidon said that Pamachas niskashu shamayim ba'ovim. On one occasion, the heavens became filled with clouds. Kisvurim ha'am, the tzibur thought, loima, they thought to say that chashechahu, and therefore v'nichmasu l'beis ha'kneses, v'spalalu shal moitzoi Shabbos b'Shabbos, and they davened the Mariv tefillah, even though it was still day, but they didn't realize that, so it was certainly a tos. V'nispazru ha'ovim, and then the clouds became dispersed, v'zorcho ha'chamo, and the sun began to shine, upon which they realized that they had davened Mariv early by accident. Uba'u b'sho'alu es Rebbe, and they came to ask Rebbe v'omar, three words, hoil v'hispalalu, hispalalu. Seeing as they've davened, they've davened. So how can you tell me that when somebody davens b'to'us, then that doesn't count, and that tefillah becomes cancelled, and therefore necessarily with it, the Kabbalah Shabbos? But here we have a story in which they daven Mariv early, and we were told that no, the tefillah was not cancelled. To the contrary, if they've davened, then they've davened. We'll give it to them. Says the Gemara, Shani Tzibur Deloy Matrachinon Lehu. A Tzibur is a different story because of Tircha de Tzibura. If it is a one-off individual, then certainly we will say that if you daven the tos, that does not take effect. And if that does not take effect, then neither does the Kabbalah Shabbos that goes with it. In the case of a tzibur, however, we're not going to mechayev en masse a whole tzibur to daven again. That's a tircha de tzibura. And under those circumstances, if they davened the tos, then the tefillah indeed does take effect. But there's no proof to the case of the Yochid. And therefore, in the final analysis, we learn from our sugya three tremendously important halachas. Number one, when a person davens Mariv on Friday night, that is a form of Kabbalah Shabbos. Number two, if ever a Yochid davens early v'to'os, that does not count. And number three, if a Tzibur davens early by accident, then it does count. By the way, that which we said, when you daven Mariv on Friday night, that is a form of Kabbalah Shabbos, there is a well-known discussion in the Poskim, what exactly does that mean, they daven Mariv? Which part of Mariv, in fact, lands Kabbalah Shabbos on them? Is it Lechadoidi, which is in fact Kabbalah Shabbos, not Mariv, before Mariv? Is it Boi B'Sholoim? Is it Mizmoy Shir? Is it Baruch Hu? Is it the Shmoyne Esra? There is a discussion, but the Mishpura clearly does say that once you finish Lechadoidi and you say Mizmoy Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, then that is considered to be Kabbalah Shabbos, even though you actually have not yet davened Shmoyne Esrei. Says the Gemara, Omer Achia Ba'ovin, Rav Soli Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. We're going back to our story now. Rav davened the Shabbos Tzfilah on Erev Shabbos. As we call it, he made early Shabbos. Rav Yashia did the opposite. Rav Yashia Matzli Shal Motzah Shabbos B'Shabbos. He made, as it were, early Motzah Shabbos. Now, of course, we pointed this out last time. There is essentially no such thing as making early Motzah Shabbos. You obviously cannot daven Maariv at 6 o'clock in the evening on Shabbos afternoon and then do Melochas. You do that Chayv Skila, it's still Shabbos. What we mean is that you're davening Maariv early. That you can do. But you cannot do Melocha. So the question now becomes, after davening early Friday night or early Motzah Shabbos, can you make Kiddush or Havdalah? So Gemara says, the last word of the narrow lines, Rav, Soli Shal Shabbos, Be'erev Shabbos, Oymer Kedusha Al Hakois? Did he say Kiddush Al Hakois? Oyeino Oymer Kedusha Al Hakois. Toshama, Domer Ibn Nachman Amashmul, Mispalel Odom Shal Shabbos, Be'erev Shabbos, Ve Oymer Kedusha Al Hakois. Yes, quite clearly you can daven early Shabbos and make Kiddush, which is what we, or many of us, do every Friday night, at least in the summer. The Hilchas Kavosei, and that is the Halacha. What about the other side of the coin? Rav Yashia Matziv Shal Motzah Shabbos B'Shabbos Omer Havdalah Al Hakoyis Oyeinu Im Havdalah Al Hakoyis Toshema Domer Rav Yudom HaShmuel Mispalel Odom Shemoytzoi Shabbos B'Shabbos Ve Omer Havdalah Al Hakoyis. Yes, you can make early Havdalah. Again, we should point out, this of course will not allow anybody Chas V'Shalom to do Melacha until it's nightfall, but we're allowing a person to make Havdalah, and if you remember, we saw in Tosas last time that certainly this should not be done L'chatchila. And the only case in which it can be done is under extenuating circumstances, for whatever reason, he's concerned that he won't be able to get hold of wine later on. Now, this is, of course, a tremendous chiddush, because if indeed it's still Shabbos, and he's therefore not allowed to do Melacha, so what exactly is he doing when he makes Havdalah? We would have thought that Havdalah, by nature, by definition, means, what's the translation of Havdalah? Separation. The whole process of Havdalah, l'chayre, is in order to permit you to do Melacha. So here we're learning from our Gemara that apparently that's not necessarily the case. Havdalah is a ceremony which heralds the departure of Shabbos. And even though the Shabbos has not actually departed, because you can, no longer, you can still not do Melacha, but the ceremony of Havdalah may be performed, even mib'oid yoyim, a tremendous chiddush.
When it says Havdalah, that's including Nair?
You could not light the Nair, no.
Okay.
No, quite right. Well pointed out. Says the Gemara, this, by the way, is very negea. My grandfather, Shayarit Yomim Shonim, late 90s, who lives in London, especially now in London, where Motzah Shabbos is closing in on 10 o'clock or later, and he goes to bed earlier, so he would be allowed to daven Maariv, if I'm not mistaken, that's what he does on Shabbos. He could daven Maariv before 10 o'clock, and in fact, he can make Havdalah as well. Obviously, if you would not make Havdalah, and as we know, you can make Havdalah the next morning as well. In fact, you can make Havdalah until Tuesday, the only difference being is that you do not do the Eish. The brach on the Eish can only ever be performed on Moitzoye Shabbos. Without any exception. As we know, for example, when Tisha B'Av is Chal on Motzah Shabbos, as it sometimes is, then you cannot obviously make Havdalah Al HaKois the night of Tisha B'Av, because you can't drink the Kois because it's Motzah Shabbos. But we do make a bracha over the Eish. Some bring a candle to shul, some do it at home. But either way, we do make a bracha al ha'Eish on Moitzoy Shabbos, as opposed to the rest of Havdalah al ha'Kois, that will be done when? On Motzah Tisha B'Av the next day.
Why don't we give it to a cotton on Tisha B'Av when we say Havdalah? Like if a bris is on a fast day, we give it to
a
kohen.
Good question. Some do. There's a whole big discussion in the event, for example, that the wife is not fasting, or there is a chayla in the home is not fasting. So why can't the husband make Havdalah and then give the wife to drink, for example? Even if you want to say that white women should not drink from Kiddush of Havdalah, but like you said, what about giving it to a child? Or, better still, if we're told you're allowed to make Havdalah al-Kois whilst it's still Shabbos, so why can't I make Havdalah al-Kois on Shabbos before Tisha B'Av kicks in? These are all valid questions. Okay, let's keep on moving with our Chazara. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Asi, Omar Rav Elozo, Omar Rav Chanina, Omar Rav, Betzad Omud Zeh. It was at the side of this pillar that his spalal Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yaisi, Shol Shabbos be'erev Shabbos. Whenever he made early Shabbos, he was standing next to this particular Omud, meaning in the shul. Omar Rav, that no, it wasn't. Ki also Ula, sorry, when Ula came, Omar Betzad tomorrow who. It was not actually the Omud in the Beis HaKnesses, it was next to this particular date tree. V'loi Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi, neither was it Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi either, Elo Rabbi Elezer b'Rabbi Yosi, you're getting the names mixed up, and also V'loi Shol Shabbos b'Erev Shabbosi, Elo Shol Motza Shabbos b'Shabbos Haba. Neither did this take place on Erev Shabbos, it wasn't Erev, in fact it was Motza Shabbos. So the details seem to be somewhat mixed up. Says the Gemara, Tfilas ha'erev ein lo keva. That is a quote from the Mishnah. Now, what does that mean, ein lo keva? My ein lo keva. I lema de'i bo'i matzli kuli lailo. If it means that it has no fixed time, meaning you can daven at any time you like during the night, so why doesn't it say so? Listen, it should state in the Mishnah, Tfilas ha'erev kol ha'lailo. That's the simplest way of writing it. Elamai ein lo keva. What does that mean, ein lo keva? Command Omar, Tfilas arvis rushus. This is following the opinion that arvis is just a rushus, and that's what it means. Ein lo keva means it's not established, not that you can daven ma'ariv at any time during the night. It's not established as a mandatory tefillah. Rather, it is an optional tefillah. Now, we saw early on in the perek, and Tosis sends us there over here, that does not chas v'shalom mean that you can choose to daven ma'ariv or choose not to daven ma'ariv at will. That's not what it means. Rather, it means that if another mitzvah comes your way, then you should do the other mitzvah as opposed to ma'ariv. But if not, then absolutely you must daven ma'ariv. Either way, that's what it means, ein lo keva. Ein lo keva does not mean you can daven all night long, but rather it is not established as an absolute obligation. Says the Gemara, the Omar of Yudah, Omar Shmuel, because Rav Yudah said in the name of Shmuel, Tfilas Arvis, what is the halacha with regard to Arvis? Amachleikas, Rabban Gamliel, Oimer, Choiva, Rabbi Yeshua Oimer Rushus. So we see there are really two opinions, whether it is a Choiva or a Rushus. And we are following the opinion that it is a Rushus, and that's why we're saying, Ein lo keva. Omer Abaya, Halocha Kedivri Oimer Choiva. But Rova Omer, and this is where we paskin essentially, Halocha Kedivri Oimer Rushus. So it's a machlokes between Abaya and Rava, and as is the normal rule, B'chol HaTorah Kula, with the exception of six cases, we always paskin Abaya and Rava, we paskin like Rava. Tana Rabbanan, the famous story now. Maisa b'talmid echod, shebo lifnei Rabbi Yeshua. A talmid came in front of Rabbi Yeshua, omalei, tfilas arvis rashus eichoivo. Now we know that Rabbi Yeshua is, of course, the opinion, he just told us in two lines ago in the Gemara, that he's the one who says that Ma'ariv is a Rashus. So here they asked Rabbi Yeshua, indeed, is it Rashus or Choiva? And he responded accordingly, Omalei, yes, Rashus. This is my opinion. Bo lifnei Rabban Gamliel, Amalei Tfilas Arvis Rashus Ay Chayva, and he said differently, Amalei Chayva. Okay, Machlaikus. Amalei, they said to Rabban Gamliel, really it's a Chayva? V'aloi Rishua Amalei Rashus? I've heard otherwise from Rabbi Yeshua. Amalei Hamtein Achi Konsu Balei Trisin Lebeis HaMedrash. Let us wait until the Balei Trisin, the warriors, meaning the Talmidei Chachamim, enter the Beis HaMedrash, and we'll see what happens then. Kishenichnusu Balei Trisin, Omad HaShoyel. The Shoyel stood up, V'Shoal, and he asked, Moirai V'Raboisai, Tfilas Arvis is a Roshus, Oy Choyva. Omalei Rabban Gamliel, he expressed his opinion that he's already expressed, Choyva. Omalei Rabban Gamliel, Achachomim, Klum Yesh Odom, Shechaylik V'Dova Zeh. Is there anybody who argues with this? My position is that Arvis is a chayva. Does anybody disagree? Omalei Rabbi Yeshua Lav. So Rabbi Yeshua, for some reason, said, no, nobody disagrees, even though we know full well that Rabbi Yeshua himself did in fact disagree. Omalei, really, that's interesting. V'haloi mishimcha omruli rishus. But surely, we've heard in your very name, in Rabbi Yeshua's name, said Rabban Gamliel that it's a Roshus, and he took him to task. Omale Yeshua Amoid Al Raglecho. Stand on your feet via Idu Bacho, and they'll testify against you. In other words, what in fact did you say? Omad Rabbi Yeshua Al Raglo V'Omar. And he said, Il Mole Ani Chai V'Hu Meis. If I were to be alive and him dead, Yochal HaKchai L'Hakchishas HaMeis. Very easy for the live person, as it were, to disagree with a dead person, knowing full well the person who's dead cannot respond. Now that we are both alive, as it were, both contending parties are here, so I have no choice. How can the live one disagree with the live one? In other words, yes, you're quite right. Ultimately, I cannot disagree with you. You're quite right. I did express my position, which was that Arvis is not a chayva, but rather it is a rishus. Hoya Rabban Gamliel, Yoshev v'doiresh, Rabban Gamliel sat in the Beis HaMedrash teaching. Rabbi Yeshua Oymed al Raglov, and Rabbi Yeshua was left still standing on his feet. Achirananu kol ha'om. Until all of the tzibur began picking up their voice, and they said, one second, enough is enough. V'omru l'chutzbis aturgman amoid, v'omar, v'omad, omriyat kamon tzare v'nezel. How much can we allow Rabbi Yeshua to be distressed? This is not the first time that Rabban Gamliel has, as it were, been mitzare Rabbi Yeshua. There was the story of Barosh Hashanah, Ishtakeid last year, Rosh Hashanah, Sare, the whole story with when Yom Kippur landed out. B'b'choyrois, b'maisad, Rabbi Tzadik, Sare, Hochanami, Sare. This is already the third time that Rabbi Gamliel has, as it were, embarrassed Rabbi Yeshua. And as far as we're concerned, to v'na'avri. We have to now come and remove him from his post because we cannot continue to allow him to be mitzare Rabbi Yeshua. Question is, okay, well, who's going to take over? Man noikim le? Who are we going to establish in his place? Nukma le Rabbi Yeshua. Can't be. Baal Maisa hu. What does that mean, Baal Maisa? He's the very one with whom Rabban Gamliel had this story in the first place, and that will cause extra distress to Rabban Gamliel. Nukma le Rabbi Akiva, Dilma onish le, the less is chus avois. He doesn't have much of a lineage. Remember, he was a geir. Elanok Meller Beloza Ben Azaria. He has all the credentials. Du Chacham, Bu Ashir. He's wise, he's wealthy. Bu Asiri Le Ezra. He's the 10th generation to Ezra, so he has very prestigious lineage. Bu Chacham, he's very wise, and therefore, Di Imakshile, whatever you ask him, Mefarikle, he can answer. V'hu Oshir, he's also wealthy. Why is that significant? Di Isle Lefluche Lebeit Kesar Afu Ozel V'Polach. If we need to give any money or taxes to the king, he can sort that out as well. Nobody can punish him for not having lineage. Not true, he has very prestigious lineage. Also, so they came and they said to him, is this appealing to the master, the Lahavi Reish Masivta? That you would now become the Reish HaYeshiva in place of Rabban Gamliel? I'm not sure, Ezel the Imlech Ba'anshei Beisi. I have to go and discuss this with my household, meaning with his wife. Ozal the Imlech B'Davisu, so he went to consult with his wife. Omrulay, and she said, 1 second. Dilma Ma'avrin Loch. Maybe you're going to be appointed, and then eventually they'll just unceremoniously dump you. Maybe they'll depose you, just like they've done to Rabban Gamliel as well. Who says you'd like to land yourself in that situation? Omar lo lishtamish inish ye mechada. It's better for a person to use for one day bekasa de mukra with an expensive glass, ulamochar litvar, even if tomorrow it breaks. Basically, a bird in the hand. Yes, if you have an expensive glass at hand, you should use it. What will be tomorrow? Maybe it will break. Beseder, that's not a reason not to use it now. So the fact that I might be deposed tomorrow for my appointment is not necessarily a reason to refuse it in the first place. Omrolei, so she said to him, 1 second, Les lechivarto, you don't have any white hairs. You look too young, basically, because you are too young. Ahu yoimer, on that day a tremendous miracle happened. Bar tamni sri shnihava. He was only 18 years old, v'izrachish le'inissa. And a miracle occurred. And what was that? V'hadrulei tmani sari dori chivarta. And all of a sudden he had 18 layers of white hair. V'hainu tekom Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That's what he meant when he says, Hare ani ka ben shivim shana. It is as if I am 70 years old. But in fact, v'loi ben shivim shana. But he never said, I am 70 years. It's as if I am, meaning this is the way that I appear. Tana, oisai ayoim on that particular day. Solkuhu l'shomer ha-Pesach. They removed the shomer ha-Pesach. There used to be a guard guarding the Beis HaMedrash, strictly deciding who comes in and who comes out of the Beis HaMedrash. Not everybody was allowed in. They removed him. This is now a new regime. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is the Reish HaYeshiva. There are new rules. V'nosno lohem reshus l'talmidim l'konis. And he gave reshus for all talmidim to enter. Shehoyer Rabbi Gamliel machriz v'oimer. Because initially, whilst Rabbi Gamliel was the Reish HaYeshiva, he had announced and he had said, kol talmid shein teichei kebarei. Any Talmud whose inside is not like his outside, lo yikonis lebeis hamedrash. So therefore they had a guard at the door sifting through the crowds, deciding who can enter and who can't. Once Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the Rosh Hashiva, he removed the Shomer, and we now have, he said, an open door policy. And in fact, unbelievable, says the Gemara, Ahu Yoimer, on that day, itoisfu kama safsali. Many benches and chairs were added to the Beis HaMedrash because there were so many more Talmidim. Chadom ha'itos v'arba me'ah safsali v'chadom ha'shvei ha'mayah safsali. Some say 400, some say 700, but either way, a colossal increase, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Talmidim, extra Talmidim, entered the Beis HaMedrash that day. As a result of which, Havakochol shidaita d'Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel became very depressed, and he said, "Oy geval, look how many people want to learn, apparently." Omar, he said, "Dil mechas v'sholem monati Torah miYisrael. Maybe I withheld Torah, I refrained Torah from being learned in Yisrael. Look how many people apparently want to get into the Beis HaMedrash, and as a result of my strict policy, we're not allowed to do so." So in order to appease him, achzulei b'chalmei, there appeared to him in a dream, Chatzvi Chivri Demali and Kitma, a white flask which was full of ash. What does that mean, full of ash? You have a beautiful white flask and it looks lovely and wonderful and marvelous, but actually there's nothing in it. So this was, as it were, in order to appease him to say, you don't need to be so upset. Look who's coming to the Beis HaMedrash. Hundreds more Talmidim. Yeah, but who are they? They're just really flasks with ash, empty. Is that really true? Says the Gemara, no. V'loihi, it's not true. Ahu liyasuvi daitahu. This was just when miyashev his das, to appease him. But really, this was not intended to cast aspersions on the credentials of the Talmidim, but rather just to make him happy, as if to say, don't worry, the ones who entered the Beis HaMedrash were really nothing special. The Mishnayos of Idiois were learned on that colossal day, on that epic day, whenever it says the phrase, on that day, which day is it referring to? It was that particular day, that was a unique day in the history of Klal Yisrael. There was not a single halacha on that tremendous day that was left hanging. All the tremendous Talmidei Chachamim, the additional 400 or 700, every halacha was paskened, and nothing was left hanging. In fact, as we're going to see in a moment, even Rabban Gamliel, having been deposed from his position, even he continued to come into the Beis HaMedrash. So I think we should just clock out, and then we'll rejoin in a moment.
Okay.
Says the Gemara of Aitam, the last narrow line. For Afrom Gamliel, loy mona atzmoy mi beis hamedrash, afilu sho achas. Not for a single hour or a moment, he did not refrain from entering the Beis HaMedrash, as we see in the following story. The Tanan, boy bayoim bo Yehuda, there was a certain gentleman called Yehuda, who was a Geir Amoini, and he came lefenei me Beis HaMedrash, Omar lahem, ma ani lovei bekahal, am I allowed to enter Klal Yisrael? Omar lei Rabban Gamliel, no, asur, ata lovei lekahal, you obviously cannot join Klal Yisrael because you are an Amoini. Omele Rabbi Yeshua, no, I disagree. Another machlekes between Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, and he says, Muta atalove b'kol. But either way, you see that Gamliel was there in the Beis HaMedrash, and that's why this story was bought. Omele Rabbi Gamliel, v'haloi kvar nema. Surely it says quite clearly in the Torah, lo yovo yamoinu mayavi b'kal Hashem. But he's not allowed to enter Klal Yisrael, and that's why I passed in that way. So what on earth do you mean? So he said, do you think they still remained in their original place? Do you think these are still authentic Amoini and Moyabi people? Sancheirev has already arrived. Melech Ashur, the king of Assyria, and he's mixed all the nations, right and left, up and down. Shenema v'asir gvulois amim v'asidoiseem. And we have the principle that you are allowed to assume that it comes from the Roiv. So, to the contrary, even though he might geographically be located in Amoim or Moyav, but Roiv people there are actually not Moyavi people at all. So what would you say? But maybe a miut, Beseder, but we always follow the Roiv. Omalei Rabban Gamliel, no, v'aloi kvar nema, v'achrei chein oshi v'shvus b'nei amoi, no mashem. The kvar shavu, it's true that they got mixed up, but there is a promise that they're all going to be restored and returned. Omalei Rabbi Yeshua, v'aloi kvar nema, but all right, but it also says, v'shavti yeshvus ami Yisrael, it also says that Klal Yisrael will be returned, v'adayin loy shavu, and it hasn't yet happened. So, therefore, it could well be that amoi namoyav, it also has not yet happened. In which case, they're still mixed up. And if you follow the principle of Roiv, safe to assume that he's not really a genuine Moabite or Ammonite. Yad hitiruhu lavoi bakahol. On that basis, they stood by the psak of Rabbi Yeshua, and they said you could follow the roiv, in which case he's not considered to be an Armeni at all, and therefore he's allowed to join Klal Yisrael. Omar Rabbi Gamliel, hoyel v'hochi hava, seeing as this is so, he's absolutely correct. Ozil v'afaisel Rabbi Yeshua. I better go and be a, I better be mispious. I better go and appease Rabbi Yeshua. When he went to his house, he saw that the walls of the house were black. From the walls of your house, it seems to be self-evident that you seem to be a blacksmith. That's why your house, your walls are so black. He was mocking him. Woe is to the generation that you are the paranus, meaning you are its leader, at least, the ex-leader. In other words, how can you talk to me like this? You seem to be unaware of the difficult life. Rabbi Gamliel came from aristocracy, from a very wealthy family. Rabbi Yeshua, not necessarily. And therefore, yes, indeed, he may well have been working very hard for his paranossa, and that's why the... And that's why the house was black. And why was Rabbi Gamliel mocking him for it? You don't know the tsar of Talmidei Chachamim, b'mehem misparnasim, how they sustain themselves, v'kamehem nizaynim, and how they feed themselves. Omar le nenesi lecha mochayli. Yes, I submit, I understand, you're right, please be moichel me. Lo yashkech be, he didn't respond. So he says, "Asay b'shvil kvoid abo." So if you're not going to be meichel me for my sake, at least be meichel me for my illustrious father's sake. And at that stage, peace. So the story is now all over. There is no more tension anymore between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Yeshua has forgiven him. Amros, they said, "Man nezel v'leimur rabbanon." Who's going to inform the Rabbanon of the latest developments in which Rabbi Gamliel has now been, as it were, restored to former glory because he's no longer fallen out with Rabbi Yeshua? Omar lahu al koveis, there was this particular koveis, a washer, and he says, "I'll volunteer. Ano azilna, I'll go to inform the Talmidei Chachamim. Sholach lo Rabbi Yeshua lebei midrasha." So they sent, Rabbi Yeshua sent him as a message with the following cryptic moshel. And he said, tell them the following. Man delovish mado, yilvash mado. The one who wears clothes, shouldn't he be the one to wear clothes? Uman deloy lovish mado. And the one who doesn't wear clothes, meaning he's not the leader. Yemar le man delovish mado. Will he say to the one who is wearing the clothes, will the non-leader say to the leader, Shlach matchav anal bishay, send me your clothes and I will wear them? Which is, of course, another way of saying that Rabbi Gamliel, who was wearing the clothes of leadership, should be restored. Omalo Rabbi Akiva, so as this shliach approached the base of Medrash, Rabbi Akiva said to the Rabbonon, Troiki Gali, please close the door, delay lesi avdeh Rabbi Gamliel, v'litzar Rabbonon. So that the messengers and the servants, clearly he suspected this may well happen. We don't want them disturbing us. Please lock the door. So therefore, the shliach could not enter the Beis HaMedrash to report this message. Omar Rabbi Yeshua, fine. I better do it myself then. Mutav, it's better if de'ekem ve'ezel anor. I myself will get up and I'll go to the Beis HaMedrash. Surely they're not going to lock me out. Ve'ezel anor l'gabayu. Osa torif ha'bobas, he banged on the door. Omalei. Maze ben maze yaze v'sheinu loy maze v'loy ben maze yoimele maze ben maze meimecho meimaoro v'efercho eifa makle. The sprinkler, who's the sprinkler? A kohen, that was from Gamliel. He should continue sprinkling. And the one who isn't, is he going to cast aspersions on the validity of the one who is a kohen? Omalei Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yeshua nispayasto. It seems to be that you've been mispious, you've been appeased. Here you are, having fallen out with Rabban Gamliel and you're now leading the campaign to have him restored. So they said to him, you should just know, Klum asinu ela bishvil kvoidcha. Everything we did, we only ever deposed Rabbi Gamliel out of honor for you. L'macha aniva ata nishchasim nashkim l'pischai. We'll go the next morning, tomorrow morning, we'll go to his door. Omri hechi navid. What should we do now? Navre, should we now remove Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and bring back Rabbi Gamliel? This, to some extent, would be considered a downgrade, not an upgrade. So they came to an arrangement. If it's one Shabbos each, they'll give the drasha. They'll come to be jealous, because it's suggesting as if they were equals. So they eventually agreed. So Rabbi Gamliel will give the drasha on 3 out of 4 Shabbosos. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Chodesh Shabta. He'll just give the drasha on 1 week. Behainu Dama, and that's why you sometimes see this phrase, Shabbos Shomi Hoysa. When you said, whose Shabbos was it? What does that mean? It's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Hoysa. That's what it means, because he didn't always get to say the drasha only once a month. Says the Gemara in conclusion, Vhoysa Talmud Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai Hara. Who was this Talmud who initially sparked the whole story in the first place? Who wanted to know whether Arvis was a Rishus or a Chayva? It actually happens to be none other than the holy Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Okay, a quite incredible piece of Gemara. Okay, let's continue on a bit. V'shel Musafin kol hayoyim, you can daven Musaf all day. This is according to the Rabbanon, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only for 7 hours. If you do, however, daven at a late stage in the day, even though it is permissible, but the eved, but you're considered to be negligent. If you had in front of you 2 tefillos, achas shel mincha v'achas shel musaf, so which one should you do first? Mispalel shel mincha v'achakach mispalel shel musaf. First, you should daven mincha. Why should you daven mincha first? So we apply the world famous principle. Tadir v'she'ine tadir, tadir peidah. Rabbi Yehuda Aiman, no, to the contrary, mispalal shal musaf, achakach mispalal shal mincha. Why? Shezu mitzvah iveres, v'zu mitzvah she'ine iveres. Remember, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can only daven musaf until when? 7 hours into the day, that's at 1 o'clock. So therefore, Tadi and Enoi Tadi becomes irrelevant. I don't want you davening Mincha now and pushing Musaf off. Why? Because Musaf, you're very, very soon running out of time. Because you can only daven Musaf until 1 o'clock. That's called a mitzvah Oiveres. It's a mitzvah that's going to pass you up. So therefore, you better daven Musaf first and not Mincha first. What do we pass on Halacha L'maisa? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Mispalal Shel Mincha, V'achakach Mispalal Shel Musaf. And this is the way we paskin, that you daven Mincha first, and afterwards Musaf. We saw a discussion in Tosfos, what do you do on Yom Kippur? Reb Zeira, Kevacholish Migirsi, when he became weak from his learning, and he was just too exhausted to learn, Hava Asil, V'yosiv Apischa, Debei Reb Nosson Baratuvi, he went to go and sit by the door of the Beis HaMedrash of Reb Nosson, and he said, Oma ki cholfi rabbonon, if ever the rabbonon pass, oz eko mikamayu, at least I can stand in front of them, v'akabel agra, and I'll get schar. So if I don't have the koyach to learn, but at least I have the koyach just to stand up in front of Talmid Chachomim, and that way get schar. Nofak osa Rav Nosson Baratovi, so out emerged the Reish HaYeshiva Reb Nosson. Omalein, he said, man omar alocha be midrasha. What was said in the Beis HaMedrash? Did we say in the Beis HaMedrash we pass like Rabbi Yehuda? Omalei hachi omar Rabbi Yochanan, ein alocha k'Rabbi Yehuda. No, we do not pass like Rabbi Yehuda who said, doma mispalal odom shel musa v'chakach mispalal shel mincha. We do not pass that way. Rather, as stated before, we in fact pass first you daven mincha and then musa. So he says, oh, really, really? Omalei Rabbi Yochanan Omra? Did Rabbi Yochanan say that? Omalei in. Tana minei arba'im zimnin. So he reviewed that 40 times. Seemed to get very, very excited. Why was he so excited? Amrei chad hi lecha, echad hi lecha. Are you getting excited because this is a big chiddush to you, or because it's the only halacha you've ever heard in the name of Rabbi Yochanan? So he said, no, amalei chadis. It's not the only thing, it's a chiddush. Mishum de mesab keli b'Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Because I always thought that this was authored by Rabbi Shua ben Levi. I never realized that it was in fact authored by Rabbi Yochanan. So this is a tremendous chiddush to me. Because it's a tremendous chiddush to me, that's why I'm asking that it be reviewed 40 times. Omer Rabbi Shua ben Levi, kol ha-mispalel tefillah shel musafin b'achar sheva shois l'Rabbi Yehuda. If you daven musaf after 7 hours, according to Rabbi Yehuda, olov ha-kosav oimer noigi mimoed osafti mimcha. What does that mean? My mashma. What is the implication? The ay noigi means listen to the tavril, be broken. Terrible punishment, how do you know? The Metagram, Rabbi Yosef, Tavri, Osi, Al Seinein, the Beis Yisrael, Al Da Achzu, Al Da Achru, Zmani, Meyadeh, the Yerushalayim. So you see that he translated Noigi to be a Lashon of breaking. Omer Rebbe Loza Kolom Espadal Tfilah Shol Shachris La'aracha Arba Shoyis, Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the cutoff point, and this is where we pass Gun of Shachris, is 4 hours. If you daven afterwards, all of our Kosovoim and Noigi Mimoyed Asafti Mimimchahayu. My mashma, how are we translating noigi now? Loshen of tsar. Diksiv, dolfo nafshi mituga. So you see that tuga is a loshen of tsar. Runachma by Yitzchok said no, it's a different pasuk that shows this point, because it says, Busuloi seho noigois vihi marlov. So pasuk in Eichon. Okay, let's just try and at least reach the Mishnah. I know we're going a little bit quick, but this is not difficult. Gemara. Rav Avya cholash. Rav Avya was very weak, v'loy osa lepirka de Rabbi Yosef, and he did not come to the shir of Rabbi Yosef. L'mocha ki osa. Voy abay lanuchi daited Rabbi Yosef, so Abay has tried to appease Rabbi Yosef, who probably was upset that Rav Avya never came to his shir. Omale, my time aloy osa ma lepirka. He was addressing Rav Avya and saying to him, why did you not come to the shir yesterday? Because I was very weak-hearted, I was very ill, and I was unable. So why didn't you eat something and then come? What do you mean eat something? Remember, this shir of Rav Yosef took place before Musaf, and Rav Huna says, you're not allowed to eat before then, so obviously I didn't eat. And then, you're right, you can't eat before Musaf. Say this, why didn't you daven Musaf at home? And then you could have certainly had something to eat, and then you could have come to the shir. So once again, he was very surprised. You're not allowed to daven Musaf before the tzibur. So what do you mean by questioning me, why didn't I daven Musaf at home? You're not allowed to. So he said, that's not true. Amalei, lav itmer lomar baba betzibur shanu. If you're with the tzibur, then do not preempt the tzibur, do not daven mariv early. But if you're at home, then you may. Says the Gemara in conclusion, v'les hilchas aloikr v'una v'aloikr b'shua ben Levi. What does that mean? Kerav v'una hoda omron. That which Rav Huna said, that you may not eat before Musaf, we in fact pasken, not that way. Halacha l'maisa, you are allowed to eat before Musaf. And what does it mean we don't pasken like Rav Shua ben Levi? Oh, the Omer Rav Shua ben Levi, the Omer Rav Shua Levi, kiven she'egiya zman tfilas ha-mincha, once you get to the zman of mincha, osur lo'y la'odom she'yitim klum, kodim she'yispalel tfilas ha-mincha, he says you may not eat before mincha, and we don't paskin like that either. So you're allowed to eat before Musaf, you're allowed to eat before Mincha. By the way, you're not allowed to eat before Shachris, unless it's just a glass of water or coffee, maybe without sugar. We'll hold it over here, and Be'ezus Hashem, we will finish our Chazara, Be'ezus Hashem, on Thursday morning, and also hopefully begin the next Mishnah and move to the bottom of the Yomt.
Shkoyach. Shkoyach, have a wonderful day, everybody.
And you.